Welcome to I Don't Need an Acting Class with Milton Justice.
Welcome to the beginning of our sixth season. I guess the truth is we still don't have it. We still didn't learn how to act, so I guess we'll keep doing them. I expected the whole thing to last like 12 episodes, and the fact that we have 150 episodes and we're in our sixth season is bizarre to me. And, you know, it's just because Walker works his ass off. I mean, he swims through these classes and edits them together. And I can't listen to them, but apparently other people do. Here's the reason you want to know a lot about acting technique. If you think of them as tools, so many times you're going to go in for a part. I mean, I look sometimes at TV shows and I think how brilliantly cast parts are. I think they're really look the part. They're great for the part. And I keep thinking there's somebody that looks kind of funky, that's kind of weird. And they're perfect for that part. So then the question is, if I look like what they're looking for, then what am I working on? And so then you work on something else. You work on a turn of the dial of character. I think character is most simply defined, and I think maybe the word that we should use is personality, because I think character, the word character has a tendency to remove us from it. Now I'm playing a character, and it makes me feel like I'm removed. But so what is the personality of this person? Another way to look at it is if they walked into the room and they were there for 1 minute and they left, what would you say about them? Very personable. Very good. He's in control. He's very direct. And so we chose one of them. And I said, all right, so he's direct. And so then we played with the character and just focused on one thing. He's very direct. And it's funny, but making that decision really helps you. He's a little spacey. You know, now I can stop. I can stop and say, so what does that mean? Which we have come to call the nature of it. What does that mean, he's spacey? And so I can I can figure out certain things that are actable for me. When somebody is spacey, they have difficulty focusing. I say, okay, yes, that's actable. I like they're unfocused. They're all over the place. Actable. A person that's spacey and I will learn and I won't know it for a while. And then one day I'll learn that the character is not based on dialogue. That's massively important. You don't figure out a character by what they say. You figure out a character by their behavior, by what they do. The person that walks into the room for 1 minute doesn't have to say anything, and you know exactly what they are. You know exactly who they are. Just the way they live in the room. It's the joy of riding the subway, sort of. You can tell. I took the bus back from getting a haircut and going to have my glasses. It's like I looked at all the people on the bus. And you could tell the dude that was full of himself. You could tell the mother who was caring. You could tell the person who was bored and annoyed and irritated, as if for some reason that was going to make the bus go faster. But you see what I mean? It's like I didn't have to hear dialogue for anyone. I could go up and down the aisle of the bus and tell you about everybody I forgot to turn off notifications, and I just got a thing from my writer friend Mark Donnelly, and it said, "I'm in Walmart in Burbank. Don't ask. It's five city blocks. I'm lost. I will never find my way out of here." That tells you everything you need to know about Mark Donnelly. But there's certain things about a character that you will figure out. And sometimes you need it, sometimes you don't need other things. I'm telling you something, when you're auditioning for this television stuff, you know, choose one thing. You know, you don't have to like build a complete character. If you got the part, then, you know, build a complete character if you want. But we have tools. I mean, the reason we keep doing all of this, why do I keep doing something I love, something I hate? So we develop the ability to connect to something honestly and in a very interesting manner so that you are connecting and it's good theater.
Okay, I need help again because I saw this post the other day from a casting director. She cast me on my last show. I really respect her. Like, she really knows what she's talking about. She said the vast majority of self-tapes are achingly too slow. So I need some reassurance on this, because now that I'm looking at their perspective, they're watching the same damn self-tape over and over. They probably are hoping, like, just get to it, you know? So pacing.
Okay. So, all right. So let me just tell you this. They don't know what the reason they think it's too slow is because it's boring. They get bored. That's why they think it's too slow. It's because actors are not filling the moments. There's a misconception in a script when it says pause. It's a misconception. People think when it says pause, it means stop acting.
Yeah, Milton, I was reading the comments on this post, and it was just all these actors that are like, great, now that I know I have to just go faster, that's the key. I'm like, no, you can't just make like a blanket statement like, pick
no,
up the pace.
I mean,
like, everything's too slow, because like stuff like that, there's so many juicy moments where you're not even speaking. It's just like looks.
No, I think that is a huge, huge. Oh, here it is. Now watch this one, and trust me, I'm not going to force you to read the monologue, but watch this monologue, where there is actually something interesting being said.
I took your advice. I found my family, and I found my mother.
Good.
Yeah. So, oh, in my heart, I forgive her. But if I never saw her again...
I understand.
It's funny to feel that way about your mother. But I did it. And I owe it to you to tell you that you were right.
You owe it to me?
Yes, sir. I needed to find
her. I was right, it was for all the wrong reasons.
Sir?
It stays between you and me, okay?
Yes, sir.
My wife and I, we were gonna have a bunch of kids, and we found out we couldn't have any. And it rocked her to the core. I knew what to do for her, though. She needed help, treatment. I made sure she had it, the best psychiatrist, the one to train me. But I, the well one, the strong one, same time I went about the business of shutting down. Very subtle, very quiet. It was my little secret. Until one day, a young man came into my office and into my life, and he blew up that little secret right in my face. And he...
Ugh, shot. It's too painful. All right. So... The important thing about this is Denzel actually has an interesting monologue that he could have filled and didn't. And it's so boring that they started putting music underneath it to save it. And it's because nothing is filled. And he moves it right along. He keeps it moving. He also directed the films, which I also think is really interesting. So he was directing himself. But I would just say, Austin, look, here's the thing. When actors aren't interesting, somebody wants them to get on with it. It's a bad acting thing, and it's bad for actors to hear that. In fact, I'm outraged that somebody would say that. Because then what it sounds like is it's an empty monologue. It's an empty scene with that's going fast. And by the way, actors do this all the time. I'm constantly saying, and I hate saying it, I'm constantly saying, slow down. Maybe it was Stanislavski. I should ask Sharon this. There's a quote that if the scene is too slow, slow it down. And the reason they say if it's too slow, slow it down is because you're not filling it. And it keeps it from just being repeated.
With Kizik hands-free shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy-on, easy-off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
You can make Something I Love, Something I Hate really, really interesting. Now, Something I Love and Something I Hate is an improvisation. It's an important improvisation. One of the things I got, I did take several classes from Strasberg. One of the things I got in one of the classes that he said was, improvisation is important for the actor because it makes him think. Most of the time, an actor just remembers. And the idea that you approach Something I Love or Something I Hate improvisationally is good. I'm fascinated watching an actor find it. If it's the right actor, but... you had a question, Jordan?
I was just going to say, for improv for myself, what I found really helpful with this, you have to listen to do improv. You can't be thinking about your next line. You have to be, there and listening. And that was really helpful for me to, ground myself in non-improv sessions later, for sure.
Yeah. No, I think it's really important. My problem with improv, and the reason we changed the word improvisation to etudes, is improvisation has in it now the connotation of it has to be funny, which I think is not what I want us to do. You know, I want us, if I love a walk in the park, I not only do I not want it to be fast, I also don't want it to be funny. It can have it in it, but what I'm doing is I'm, and one of the reasons I like for all of you to do them is because it's good for you to figure out what you need in order to do one. In other words, what you will find, well, maybe it's really good for me to visualize the part. And just, it's along the, so a walk in the park is also like a walk next to the river. And it's like this breeze from the river and the George Washington, you know, I mean, it's just like, I just sit there and let it happen, let it feed me. And so I'm the improvisation is more like jazz improvisation, where I just kind of see what happens. And it's brave to do that. But all of these things are, these are all tools. That is a tool about connecting. I promise, if you're connected, I don't get bored. If you're worried about how to perform it, I get bored. I do get bored. I think especially for most of you who grew up on music that has no levels, that has no dynamics. It's just an unrelenting rhythm. And so as a result, you don't have a sense of the music of acting. You know, it's like, I think it's important to listen to Beethoven symphonies. I think it's important to listen to Tchaikovsky. I certainly think it's important to listen to Mahler. I think it's important to listen to classical music so that you get in your bones dynamics. We're not used to bum 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 bum, bum 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 bum. Well, I mean, if you approach a monologue like that, those dynamics translate into our acting, even because you have the musicality in you. It, the dynamic brings it to life. And that's one of the things that's important. You need to have a sense, a musicality. Yeah, it's a very bad note. Does that help you, Austin?
Yeah, no, it does.
If it's interesting, we'll watch it. I heard from my youngest brother earlier today. He'd watched Geraldine Page in a movie, and you all don't know who she is, but she's unbelievable and famous for chewing the scenery. And and she's in Sweet Bird of Youth. She wakes up and she's in bed with Paul Newman. And she looks up in a fabulous Tennessee Williams line. She looks at him and she says, "I may have done better, but God knows I've done worse." And I thought that was one of the great lines. And she just chews the scenery with that line. Well, I mean, you want her to take all that time. Pacing is dangerous. It really is. Anyway. But look, here's my point. And this is where I suddenly got off on this tangent, because I've been thinking about it. It's, there aren't that many elements, and it will take your entire life to figure out how to use those. There aren't that many elements. I really do think you can say there's a character, there's a circumstance, there's somewhere. The circumstance is, in the broad sense of things, it may be they're in the Millennium Falcon. The circumstance is they may be in Tsarist Russia. The circumstance may be they're in New York. But the circumstance is there for a reason, and it gives you something. And they're doing something. There's an action. There's something going on. Yes, George.
Like, one of the things I love about what you talk about is like understanding the world that we're in, you know, like, is the circumstance, like, would you layer everything else, like the character, the action, the circumstance, on top of like what world are we in?
I'll tell you something. The only thing I would do is I might put a circle around it and put theme.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Like noir or whatever.
Yeah. Yes. In other words, you know, what is the idea of the piece that I'm doing? I think that informs a lot. But coupled with that, I think if we want to simplify it, and we want to simplify it and use that, the circumstance has to include the given circumstance of the play, which includes the world. See, but for me, all of it is like, these are just like the little keys. As soon as I know that this is a play that takes place on Wall Street, I know what world I'm in. It's like, I go, ah, great. I'm in the world of corporations. And so out of it, you see, in that particular thing, then out of it, it gives me behavior. And any of these things, I think what will hit you, and it's the reason I love getting that book of 1 minute monologues or 2 minute monologues to look at, is because then you can look at it and figure out, what do I need to work on first? Those are all from plays, but then it's just knowing, what do I need to work on first? What do I get from it? But I'm telling you something, when you do it, you do it, you do it, you do it, and then one day you'll look at it and say, I just need to tweak his character a little bit. And sometimes, not often, because casting directors have now gotten really lazy about breakdowns and character descriptions, but sometimes they'll give it to you. But you'll look at it and you'll say, oh, I know this guy. Yeah, oh no, I know her. And look, find the line of dialogue that gives you a key to the character. Anyway, all right, so that's that.
Milton.
Yes.
That all goes back to you doing so much, like you were saying at the very beginning of class, something clicks and you got it. Just the repetition of various auditions.
I think so. I mean, really, the truth of the matter is, if we approached acting more like sports, we'd be better off.
I Don't Need an Acting Class is created and hosted by Milton Justice and produced by me, Walker Vreeland. The opening track is by Jeffrey Keezer. It's called Miriam from his album Wildcrafted Live at the Dakota. And the closing track is Green Tea by Vendla. If you could, we would just love it if you would subscribe to the podcast and rate it and review it. You can find us online at idontneedanactingclass.com and on Instagram at idontneedanactingclass. As always, if you have a question or a comment, please email Milton, questionsformilton@gmail.com. And who knows, he might address yours on the podcast. So again, that's questionsformilton@gmail.com. Hope you have a great week. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you back here next time.